Welcome to segment two of the TKO. Here on segment two, we're going to have a quick bit of news from the UFC, and then we're going to move on and preview UFC 131 and make our picks on the fights.
And we did just review The Ultimate Fighter on segment one, and good season of The Ultimate Fighter. That was an ending there. Ultimate Fighter coaches have been announced for next season, and we are going to have Michael Bisping and Jason Mayhem Miller as the coaches. How do you feel about that, Jason?
I'm not real excited about it, to be honest with you. I mean, really? When you come into a season of Ultimate Fighter and you've got a couple coaches, like this season, you know, where we've got Brock Lesnar and Junior Dos Santos, you're like, these guys are going to fight. Winner of that gets a title shot. Like, that's exciting, you know, to build up to that. What are Bisping and Mayhem Miller building up for? Like, you know, they're going to fight and you know, maybe have another couple fights before the title shot? It doesn't make much sense to me. I'm not really excited to see those two guys go at it, you know?
It seems to me that the UFC is now basing things on, excuse me, personalities, I think.
They'll be good for TV.
You know, Bisping already have done it, you know, being a coach on UK versus USA, that season of The Ultimate Fighter. So this will be his second stint on the show.
He was on the show, then he was a coach, and now it would be his second.
Mayhem Miller, basically a celebrity from Bully Beatdown on MTV. You know, I mean, he's a good fighter. He's kind of a journeyman of the sport, kind of been all over the place, fought all types of people. Noted a lot for the fight with the Diaz brothers after, you know, after the fight was over.
Post-regulation. Yeah.
For Strikeforce on Showtime, which was a huge thing. And they thought Showtime might have pulled the contract after that. But, you know, he's kind of known as kind of a crazy, you know, I think he's going to get under Bisping's skin, which Bisping showed with the Jorge Rivera fight, that you can get under skin, you know. So I think that's kind of what they're kind of casting for at this point, you know, which kind of sucks. I like the idea of whoever was fighting at the end was getting title shots, but
yeah, you can't blame them for going for ratings either, though. I mean, these two guys are going to be good for TV, and you know, they'll get some good ratings out of it. So I'm moderately looking forward to the season. I'm just not looking forward to the fight at the end of the season, you know. We're going to go ahead and move on and preview UFC 131 right now. That's going to be happening June 11th. The big headline fight was supposed to be Junior Dos Santos versus Brock Lesnar. Brock Lesnar had his diverticulitis flare-up, so now he's Junior Dos Santos fighting Shane Carwin. A couple 12-1 guys. How do you see this fight going?
Woo! I see a lot of bombs being thrown, man. I'm a huge Brock Lesnar fan, and I want to see him fight. But I do think that this, as far as styles go, makes a much more exciting fight. Yeah. I don't see this going out of the first round. Really.
It shouldn't. But every time I say that, it's a decision type of fight. So I'm going to go ahead and just say I think Shane Carwin can land a punch in this one, and that's all it takes with him. I think I'm going to take Shane Carwin in this one.
Well, they have said that Dos Santos thinks that Shane Carwin's actually going to come out and try to take him down.
Be interesting.
Which, I mean, he does have the wrestling. I mean, you saw that, you know, in the Brock Lesnar fight, you know. So he can wrestle if he wants to.
Yeah.
It might be the smarter idea. But then again, Shane Carwin hasn't been known for really being afraid of anyone.
It's true.
So I hope that they just go out to the center of the octagon and see who's last standing. You know, who's left standing. I would love to see that. I don't know if that's the way it's going to go. I'm going to take Junior Dos Santos in this because
I knew you would.
You know me, I'm a boxer. I can't go against someone with hands that good. So, Rob, are you going to be the tiebreaker here?
Yeah, I'm going Brad.
I figured you guys would. I'm going Dos Santos. Dos Santos is definitely the more skilled striker.
Yes.
So it would not surprise me at all if he won. But Shane Carwin, to me, has that one shot, you know, that one punch power.
I'm not counting him out by any means.
And I think he's probably going to land one.
And in his favor, he just had surgery to repair his back, which I guess has been hurting him for the last, like, 3 years now. So this is the first fight that he'll have where this back problem that he's been having, that's been nagging him, is going to be gone. Which, I mean, honestly, you can't really undercut that importance of having a better training camp and coming out and feeling 100%. You know, it really can have a huge difference and even the mentality of a fighter going in. Yeah. So, you know, I'm excited.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a good fight. I think it's going to be a close fight, and I do really expect it to not go the distance, and now that I've said that, it will.
And the UFC should really take notes. This is how you fix fights up that fall through, not Matt Hamill and Rampage Jackson, just FYI.
The next fight down the card is going to be Kenflo Florian versus Diego Nunez, and I happen to think this is a pretty important fight for Kenny Florian. He hasn't been doing a whole lot lately. Diego Nunez has a really good record. He's 16-1. He hasn't really fought a lot of fighters that you would recognize. He has a couple of split decision wins over Rafael Assuncao and Mike Brown. Mm. Those are probably the two guys you'd know that he fought. His last five wins have been by decision, and those two were split decisions. I mean,
these are
just
smaller guys, though. They don't have the knockout.
Well, but all of his fights before these last five, he ended.
Yeah.
You know, whether it be submission or knockout.
Well, we're going to have to see with Kenny Florian, because he has got on Dana White's bad side. You know, he really has. Dana White coming out and publicly saying that when the pressure is put on Ken Flo and he's put in the spotlight, he doesn't perform.
Yeah.
And that's not a good place you want to be on Dana White's bad side.
Yeah, definitely not.
So he really does need to come out and have a good performance. He's so well known, I don't know if he'll be cut if he doesn't win, but he'll definitely be kind of in this division is not as stacked as some of the other ones.
Yeah.
So I don't think he'll be cut if he doesn't win, but he's definitely going to be, I would say if he loses this one and loses the next one, I think he will be let go.
Yeah, if he loses this one, he'll be way down the line for a title shot. And, I mean, that's your ultimate goal, obviously.
He's, from what it seems like to us anyway, he's been doing a little bit of moving around in weight classes because he's trying to find a home where I think that he can find a way to get in on the title shot.
Yeah.
He's lost to BJ Penn. He lost to Gray Maynard. You know what I mean? So he even lost to Sean Sherk way, way back when. So he's trying to find that home, and I just don't see it really happening. He's got some great wins. I mean, even recently in the past year, Clay Guida and Takanori Gomi, you know?
Yeah, but those are great wins. Yeah,
and then he's got an old killer card, calling card, you know? Joe Lozon, Roger Huerta, Joe Stevenson. So he's got some huge wins in his career. Yeah. But if he can't find a home, he's going to... is it better to burn out or fade away? That's the question with Ken Flo Florian.
As far as, you know, maybe the fight, don't know how the fight's going to go, but as far as the importance of this fight, definitely can't be undercut. So I'll be excited to see it.
Who are you picking, though?
Ooh. I'm going to go with Nunez.
Are you?
Yeah.
All right. I think I'm going to go with Ken Flo just because, like I was saying, Diego Nunez hasn't really done well against the big name fighters that we've seen him fight. So I think against Ken Flo, who is a bigger name fighter, has a lot of experience in the UFC in particular, I don't think he's going to do great. Honest Rob, you have a pick?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Jason on this one. I think that you're right as far as Florian's definitely got the big wins in the experience. And this isn't the spotlight shining on him. This isn't a next to title shot or a title shot. This is one of the areas where Ken Flo shines, like against Gomi, where it's still a big-ish fight, but it's not
headline material.
Exactly.
Anything, yeah.
So he's going to shine, and then they're going to say, does he deserve it, a title shot? And then he's going to blow it.
And then he'll get a big fight and blow it. And
I'm going to be honest. I'm not 100% confident in my pick. I just knew you both were going to pick Ken Flo, so I want to be different.
There's always that.
You know, maybe the black sheep, I guess. You do what you got to do. The next fight I want to talk about is actually the one I'm looking forward to most on this card. It's Damian Maia versus Mark Munoz. I am personally really looking forward to this. I think Damian Maia is the best jiu-jitsu practitioner in the sport right now.
Man crush indeed.
But he's had a couple fights where he's had some trouble, Damian Maia has.
He's boring.
He is a little... Well, I don't think he's boring.
Until he gets you on the ground.
Yeah, if he gets you on the ground, you'll see some crazy stuff out of him.
But it's just getting to the ground.
Yeah,
I mean, his stand-up is horrible. I mean, it's just really, really bad. And I'll give him credit. Last time he looked better than he has, but that's still not saying a whole lot.
Yeah.
He really needs to up his striking.
The one thing that makes me nervous is the one time you see him against a real, like, true striker was when he fought Anderson Silva. He got kind of worked over in that fight. And that's what Mark Munoz is good at, you know? I mean, he's got a good wrestling background, but he can stand and strike, too.
I don't feel that he's the greatest striker, though, because here's the thing. I feel like Mark Munoz, what he's well known for is his wrestling. He's a world-class wrestler.
Yeah.
So, for him to win, you have to take the jiu-jitsu practitioner, one of the best, if not the best in the game, down.
That's what I don't think Munoz is going to do. I think he's going to... I mean, Munoz has some knockout power.
He does.
I think he's going to try and stand and strike with him.
You know, if it comes... I mean...
You don't want to put Damian Maia on the ground, even if it's on his back. You just don't want to do that.
I mean, and so I feel, though, that becomes a matchup problem, because I really think, like, that's Mark Munoz's strength. And so if he can't take him down and the strikes aren't landing, you know, he doesn't have a whole lot of a chance to win. It's just a matter of, does he feel like his wrestling is good enough to where he can take, you know, Damian Maia down and not get submitted and neutralize those attempts? That's going to be, you know, the deciding factor here.
So where do you got it coming out?
Oof.
Who do you have with the hand raised at the end of three rounds, or, you know, shorter possibly?
Ah, I hate to say this. This really hurts. But I think Damian Maia is going to win.
Yeah. Brad feels dirty now. But I got to go with Damian Maia, too. I think Mark Munoz is going to have in his head the game plan to come out and strike with Damian Maia and stand up and not take him down. Mm. But I think at some point, he's going to fall into that old wrestling habit. He's going to get that one takedown, and Damian Maia is going to capitalize and slap something nasty on him.
Yeah. I'm actually a big fan of Munoz, and I still think he's got it.
You like, know, the Filipino wrecking machine?
I do. And, you know, as we're talking about, you know, in the past, is that jiu-jitsu is slowly but surely kind of fallen by the wayside. I mean, everybody needs to know how to defend it, but it's harder and harder, it seems like, for guys to really pull off the interesting submissions. We still see rear naked chokes, but when's the last time you guys saw an Uma Plata or something like that?
Yeah.
But
yeah.
If there was someone to pull it out, it would be Damian Maia. He's submission magician. That is what he does.
We saw the Korean Zombie pull the twister. So
yeah, that was nuts.
Pretty much, though, if he was the Japanese wrecking machine instead of the Filipino, Rob, would you change your pick?
I would.
On a side note, we do have a lot of foreign type of flavor in this card here. We got the Filipino wrecking machine. Also, we have Joey Beltran, the Mexicutioner, has a fight.
The best name.
And in other stereotypes, we do have Donald Cowboy Cerrone has a fight, too. So
I do like Donald Cerrone, though. He's not my boy, like you always say, but he is a good fighter. So I am excited to see what he's able to do. You know, one of those same type of things. Was a champion in WEC. What can you do, you know, now in the UFC?
Yeah.
Which, if you look at what Ben Henderson does, it is possible. Anthony Pettis, okay, didn't look the greatest, but I think that was because of competition. So I would like to see what the cowboy Donald Cerrone with all his tattoos does.
Yeah, Donald Cerrone has a fight against Wagner Rocha. I don't know.
Dr. Wagner.
I've never heard of the guy. I don't know much about him. Honest, Rob, do you have any stats on this guy?
He's 6-1. He does his one loss came by decision. He is 4-0 with submissions and 1-0 with knockouts. So he's the only loss has been by decision. And that loss was to Brett Bergmark, and that was
Bergmark.
Oh yeah, that's
yeah,
boy too.
Yeah, that was in the Fedor versus Verdum Strikeforce.
Okay,
and don't forget, and M1 Global co-sponsor.
Oh, of course, M1 Global. Yeah. Can't forget about
M1 Global now, because they're huge in the UFC, you know, the MMA world.
All right, I think the last fight on this card. Well, let's do some picks for that. The Donald Cerrone fight, actually. I think I got to go with Cerrone just because I've seen him fight. He's very good. I don't know much about this other guy.
I'm going with Cerrone. I think that he's got a bright future in the UFC.
Honest Rob, you going to break the tie here or go against it?
No, let's go with the cowboy.
All right. All for the cowboy here.
Giddy up.
Last fight I want to mention, just because I'm sort of looking forward to it, is going to be Chris Weidman versus Jesse Bongfelt. Chris Weidman came out, and they've been giving him a lot of hype, talking about he's the next big thing at 185. Mm-hmm. You know, really strong wrestling, came out and had a good performance last time we saw him fight. Don't know much about Jesse Bongfelt. He's put together a pretty good record for himself. He's 15-4-1. But Honest Rob, do you have any stats on Bongfelt at all?
I'm taking a look at that right now. Yeah, he is 15-4-1. He actually has zero decisions. So that's kind
interesting.
Of interesting. He's got two losses by knockout, two losses by submission, and his no contest. Get this. This is against Rafael Nadal, not to be confused with Rafael Nadal of tennis fame.
Oh, wow.
Okay. But anyway, yeah, 15-4-1. He's got 6 wins by knockout and 9 by submission. So obviously he favors a submission, although he's versatile.
Okay. Can you sort of look through the guys he's defeated and just tell us if there's any you know, notable names there at all? Anybody we might know that he's defeated?
He's fought a lot of Canadian fighters. Nobody's really jumping off the card because there's not really a whole lot of Canadian fighters in the UFC here.
Okay.
But yeah, it looks like a lot of his fighting has been in the Canadian Fighting Championship, Rumble in the Cage, TKO. So this looks like his second fight in the UFC because of the draw with Nadal. But other than that, we really don't have a whole lot of backstory on him, you know.
I'll go with him. I don't know.
You're going with Bongfelt.
Bongfelt has an awesome name.
All right,
and I never go against an awesome name.
I'm going with Weidman. I think I think he pulls out the win. He's 5-0. You know, I think they're probably going to build him up a little bit more before giving him the tough stuff. So I'm going to go with him.
Yeah, give me Weidman also.
You guys are boring.
Well, you know.
One more fight we got to talk about, though, because I thought we were going to talk about it now.
Oh, man.
Come on. Say it, Jason.
All right. Who is it? It's Nick Ring.
Nick the Flame Ring.
Nick Ring fights James Head. Again, a guy I don't know much about. Nick Ring, obviously a Ultimate Fighter alumnus. He is 11-0. He's put together a pretty good record. I think his UFC debut, I believe, was his last fight, mm-hmm. and he did win that. Well, obviously, since he's undefeated, but... Yeah,
I
don't know.
He's a very flamboyant fighter.
That he is.
You know, to say the least.
Yeah.
And I'm being delicate with my words. But,
you kind of have to be.
You know, the thing is, though, all jokes aside, he is a really good fighter. And aside from having some of the injuries he had, I think he could be very far in the UFC and maybe even close to a title shot if he didn't have those injuries. So I think he really did have that kind of skill. So I'm excited to see if he can make a run. You know, this time around, and I'm picking Nick. Not okay. His real name is not the Flame. I just call him. I'm going to take Nick the Flame Ring.
I'm interested to see how far he's progressed since the season, given that he didn't win the season of the Ultimate Fighter that he was on. I think he does have some potential. Obviously, you know, he's put together a decent record. I'll go with him over James Head, since I don't know much about James Head. That's fine. I'll pick Nick Ring.
I will also go with Nick the Promise Ring.
Wow.
However, the caveat. I don't think the Promise is any better than the Flame. The Promise is actually.
We really need to work on his nickname. We'll come up with something.
We'll need to help him out. Nick Ring, if you're listening, call into the show. We'll work something.
We're going
to
change.
We'll get
promise.
Something going for
the
you.
Promise Ring.
All right, that's going to do it for us here on the TKO. I'm Brad.
I'm Honest Rob.
And I'm Jason. Everybody, remember to never leave it in the hands of the judges.